It is so good to be here, but it's particularly good to be here with you. And you aren't here by happenstance or just because somebody told you you were supposed to be here. You're here because the Holy Spirit brought you here. And He brought you here because God thinks you're awesome, because He believes you're wonderful. And He wants to speak into your life. He wants to touch your life. He wants you to have an encounter with Him that leaves a mark, a good mark, a holy mark on your life. Amen. You know, the thing is, I was thinking about this last night for some reason. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit and thinking about Jesus and how the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. But Jesus said that He was the truth. And of course, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're one being. It's one God, but existing in three persons. I know that that's weird to understand, but that's the truth. And that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth because He's always leading us into fresh revelation, fresh encounter with Jesus. And so my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit, who we're going to be talking about some, will lead you into the truth about Jesus, because Jesus is the truth about everything. You understand? You do know that, right? Like, it's dangerous to watch the news. You ever notice that? Because the news gives you lots of facts, but they don't tell you the truth. Because they don't know the truth unless they know Jesus. And then they're not allowed to speak the truth. And so the truth about everything is Christ. I mean, in other words, stuff happens. Jesus does never cause stuff, but there's a truth behind all the stuff. And I think about, like, in Ukraine. What a tragedy, you know. And what's the point? I mean, I have a Labrador Retriever, and Labrador Retrievers that are yellow don't declare war, and Labrador Retrievers are brown. And then try to destroy them because they just want part of the pasture. And yet we have Russia trying to destroy, and then Ukraine's got its own stuff. But what's the truth behind all that? Broken humanity and their need for God. We were created for Him, and we just don't work right. Everything is skewed and looks weird when we're not in union with Christ. It's just because He's the truth. This the scriptures that Bracken read, and I'm not even sure I can do a good job of doing this, because this one blows me away. So Bishop Eric preaches this Sunday, and I'm really excited that you're going to get a break, CTKers, from having listened to me. And I'm looking forward to listening to him. Tomorrow night, Father Joseph. So we have Kenya tomorrow night, Uganda on Sunday. And we had Japanese just with us. It's our international season around here. So it'll probably be the next Sunday. I may do this on a Sunday morning. But John's the one place in the Gospels when John talks about the baptism of Christ. He doesn't give record of the baptism. He doesn't say, well, and now as Jesus is being baptized, this happened. He talks about the fact when Jesus was baptized, that the Spirit came down like a dove and remained on him. And that even though Jesus was his cousin, he didn't recognize Jesus as the truth. He didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. But the Father, who loves us, was helping John out and said, here's the way you're going to know. Because your assignment in life is that through the baptism, you're going to bear witness to who the light of the world is. You're going to bear witness to the Messiah. You're going to be the one that says, this is the guy. This is the Messiah. This is the one that's going to create a whole new humanity. He's going to create a new birth. He's going to be the truth about humanity finally coming up and coming out. And so, but he said, this is how you're going to know. The Spirit's going to come on him, and it's going to remain on him. And you're going to know that's the one. And so John, of course, is baptizing and looking for this to happen. And there's no telling how many people he baptized, because many people went to him because they thought he was the Messiah. Remember, the Jews sent people to go find out who he was. He said, who are you? Are you the Messiah? He said, no. He said, are you Elijah? He goes, no. So he keeps asking him questions, and he says, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness. I'm a voice to declare who the Messiah is. And so John just tells that story. He says, look, when I baptized Jesus, this is what happened. Spirit came down like a dove, landed on him, remained on him. I knew he was the Messiah because that's what the Father said would be the sign. And so now that I see him coming, behold, the Lamb of God. The one I baptized yesterday, That's the Lamb of God. That's the little lamb that's going to be led to the slaughter. That's how the little lamb's going to destroy the big bad dragon. Do you understand that? It's little lambs that destroy the big bad dragon. So think about this picture. So let me just read this one account from Mark. And again, I don't have a clue if this is going to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, it's okay to pretend like it did so that I'll feel okay about it and won't be insecure. And then later when you leave, you can go, that didn't make any sense whatsoever. Okay. And then don't text me and tell me it didn't make any sense. No, I can handle it. And it came about in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came out of the heavens, "Thou art my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." Now, John doesn't add that part, but I wanted us to see that part. Because in this story, in John's story, when he says the Spirit descended like a dove and remained on him, we have the presence of this amazing scene. Now, again, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about humanity and the way humanity acts and behaves, like, just scratch them off, Lord, and let's just start over again, right? Because they're broken and yucky and messy. It's not fun. There's all this, again, I use the picture of like Ukraine. There are people bombing children and hospitals and doing all kinds of yucky stuff. You know, we have a common thing. When I first started going to Africa, and both of their countries border Rwanda. In 1994, the Hutus, who made up 85% of the population of Rwanda, tried to annihilate the other 15% of Tutsis. And in 100 days, they slaughtered a million of them with machetes. The Interahamwe, a sort of a militia group, destroyed almost a million. And if the rebel group, the army from Tutsis had not come up out of Uganda and stopped it, within a month, every Tutsi in existence would have been annihilated. Now, that's tragic and terrible. But then think about America and Britain and France, other places that could have stopped it, did nothing about it. What does that say about them? What does it say about the Tutsis and the Hutus? What is wrong with us? We're lost. We're broken. That's what sin does. Things were good until sin entered the world. And that's what sin does. It's like a virus, and it twists everything. If Jesus is the truth, anything that we see outside of the context of Jesus, without the grit of Jesus, is not the truth. It's a lie, no matter what anybody tries to tell you. There's only one explanation for humanity's inhumanity to humans, and that is sin. And so you would think God, being holy, when it was just Adam and Eve, just scratched them off. Like, okay, that didn't work out really well. Let's just start over again. But he didn't. Because you know what? There's a word called foreknowledge. He already knew you. He already knew me. He already knew your folks. He already knew your children. And he was already in love. And he was not. He refused to live without the opportunity of living with us. And so here you have God becoming human. God became a human. Jesus was both God and man. That had never happened before. What kind of God would do something like that? He'd never been tempted ever, ever. And yet he stepped out of eternity and he clothed himself in our sinful flesh, Romans 8:3 says. And he was tempted in every way like us. God did that. He put himself through that to redeem us. And so here you have in this scene, this will help us understand about God. You have this mystical, weird, amazing scene. Here's God who's become human. And then the Holy Spirit, the omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful, the one who hovered over all creation at the beginning and helped bring things into existence, the one who with one breath could destroy the whole world, comes like a dove, becomes a dove, and lands on Jesus and remains. Of all the creatures you could be, just think, if there's anything in the world you could be in an instant, anything in the world, what would it be? Let's just pretend that you were all powerful. You personally are all-powerful. You can do anything. You have all power. You have all knowledge. You're like mega something. Like you're just this amazing creature. And you're all-knowing, all-powerful, all this. What would, if you could in a moment become something, be something, animate yourself as some kind of figure, what would it be? A Death Star? A giant planet? Some creature that was a million miles long and wide and could fly over the universe? Would it be a dove? This vulnerable, gentle, tender, sensitive symbol of love and peace and gentleness? God became a man. And in this scene, in this one point in history, God also, the Spirit, became a dove and landed on that man. And in that moment, the Father speaks from heaven and says, "Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Trinity in this one moment. So let's leave you with this. One, just that scene alone blows away any Star Wars imagination, anything a human could ever imagine as remarkable. God became man, clothed himself in flesh. He became our representative. He was both God and man. And in that scene, you have everything God's wanting from humans and everything humans have ever wanted for God, from God, in that moment, happening in Christ, by the Spirit, through the voice of the Father, saying, "You're my beloved, and you I'm well pleased." That wasn't just him speaking to Jesus. Jesus clothed himself in your humanity, in my humanity. So think of the person that you have become at times that you just would have nothing to do with, or some other person that you'd love to have nothing to do with, ever see again, totally eliminate. God doesn't approve of what humans do. God disapproves. God's heart is broken over man's humanity against humanity. But the way the redemption started, the way the rebirth started, the way the new creation began was here in the incarnation and the Father saying to you, in Christ, "Behold, my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased." That only happened in Christ. When you become a Christian, you're now in Christ. And when God looks at you, he sees the face of Jesus. There's something I wrote. This is by a guy. And then I'll stop. He said, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." Well, maybe it'll make more sense tomorrow. I don't know. Does this make sense? God says about you, "Behold, my beloved child, in whom I'm well pleased." This is what a man named Henry Nouwen once said. "I kept running around it." "I kept running around it in large and small circles, always looking for someone or something able to convince me of my belovedness in Christ." What he said about Jesus, he says about you. He was not just talking about Jesus. He was talking about humanity clothed in Jesus as his beloved, in whom he's well pleased. There's such something so liberating to know that I don't have to run around and try to get Buddy to love me, to think I'm wonderful so that I'll think I'm wonderful, or to get Maya to think I'm wonderful so I'll think I'm wonderful, but for me to be so free, because I know I'm wonderful in his eyes, that I can help Maya know how wonderful she is, because it's not about me, and I can help Buddy know how wonderful he is, because it doesn't have to be about me anymore. Perfect love casts out fear. I don't have to be afraid of being rejected. I'm his beloved. And when he looks into my face, when the Holy Spirit was coming in that dark tan face of Jesus, and looked in the eyes of Jesus, he saw himself. He saw God. He heard the voice, the Trinity, saying, "This is my beloved, whom I'm well pleased." And when he looks into our face, he sees Jesus and feels the same way about you that he feels about him. And guess what? We don't have to run around searching for more. When you were born into the kingdom, the Holy Spirit was on you and remains on you. You can experience more. You can uncover more. You can enter into more. Because you're in Christ, you can't get more. Because what's his is yours. That was his baptism, was your baptism. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.